I'm excited to bring the word, but more than that this morning, it's just good to be in God's house, but we get to hear from one of our missionaries, who Earl Washburn. They have been part of this family for a long time, and I had lunch with them last week, and he told me, I'm really bad with dates and all that kind of stuff. I'm good with names, though. I'm freakishly good with names. I'm freakishly bad with dates and ages and that kind of stuff, but that's a different story for a different day. But Earl and his wife Sharon have been serving in Honduras as missionaries for the big 20, right? We're 20 years, right, Earl? 20 years. That's a long time, but that's a lot of faithfulness. And so he's been here for a few weeks, and this is his last Sunday for a while as he heads back down south. And so I've asked him to come and just share an update of what's going on, how his church family could be praying for them, and just what God's doing. And God's done a lot through their hands. So would you give Earl Washburn just a welcome with me this morning?
That's a defender. I don't know if I like those lines. I can't see you. Well, let me see what's in here. There's something in here. Yeah. Oh, look at that. This is salsa picante. Anybody like salsa picante? Made in La Ceiba, believe it or not, made in La Ceiba. And there's not many things that are made in La Ceiba. So you should like that. I have four bottles, that's all. So if anybody wants a bottle of salsa picante hot sauce, I'll be right over there. Meet me right over in the corner after the service. Okay? Yeah, I'll give you. If there's too many people, then we'll just select numbers or something like that. Well, it is an absolute joy to be here once again. It always is a joy to be here because this is my body. This is my spiritual body. You 20 years ago, August 24th, 1999, you cast Sharon and me out to the nations. And like the sower sowing seed, God took the seed and planted it in Honduras in good soil. And so fruit is being born. So it's just a joy to be here. I bring greetings from Sharon, who could not be here, my wife, and I bring greetings from those who live with us, the children, Nader, Karin, and Sada, and Grisel, and Noel, and Kati, and I bring greetings from Dr. Melvin, Dr. Anna, and others who have lived with us. Hedemias, who is becoming, going to a seminary in Guatemala City, is graduating this month from a seminary, Guatemala City. He is Mosquito Indian. He lived with us, graduate of Instituto El Rey. So there's just a lot of fruit. Fruit is beginning to be harvested, right? Fruit is to be harvested. If it's not harvested, then what is it? What is it good for? It's not good for anything, right? I don't think it is. If you come up with something, that would be good. But so for the first, we've been there for 20 years. For the first 12 years, we were the administrators of Instituto El Rey. Many of you have been there. I know. And you know all about the Instituto El Rey. And I think it's the best school in Honduras. I may be a little bit prejudiced, but I think it is not the best, one of the best schools in Honduras. And the graduates of Instituto El Rey are changing the nation of Honduras. It's like the rock has been thrown into the pond. And the ripples from that rock hit every part of the edge of the pond. Even maybe even washing over some of the land, because it creates a tsunami. Right? The power of God. The rock is who? Who is the rock? Jesus is the rock. That's right. Jesus is the rock. So because Jesus is there, because the rock has been thrown into the pond, powerful things are happening. And so that's the wonderful news. All around in many nations, you were talking about that, Ryan. In many nations, the power of God is being felt. And great things are happening in the world today. Evil is increasing. Good is increasing. The power of God. It's all about God. So I just thank you for your prayers. I thank you for your financial support. I thank you for coming and working on the school building and doing various things. And so when I'm down there, I'm down there for 11 months of the year. I come up here for two reasons, for two primary reasons. One is to reconnect with my spiritual body, which you are. And the other is to reconnect with my physical family, which is we have two sons who live in this area, and we have four grandchildren. So that just gives me an opportunity to that. Just thank you. Thank you so very, very much. Yeah.
Awesome. Love you. Love you. Well, make sure to see Earl to get your hot sauce after the service.
Don't forget.
And I told Earl, I'm telling him right now, if there's more people that want it, he just gets to pick his favorites, and or he gets to pick whoever wants to give him the most money. So Earl, there you go. But let's pray for Earl and Sharon. And I also want to just lift up our sons and daughters and our teachers, many in this room who are going back to it this week. And so I just want to pray over Earl and Sharon and them. So would you join with me? Father God, we thank you for Earl and Sharon and for their faithfulness and just for the fruit. God, we stand in awe of the things that you have done through their lives. And God, we know that we've seen so much, but we have only scratched the surface on the things that you have done through their work. We know that through their hands, there's been done so much more than the things that we can see with our own eye. So God, we ask that you would continue to bless the ministry, to bless the fruit. Father, that there would be an abundance of fruit through their hands, through the people that they touch. Father, we thank you that you are changing that nation a life at a time, and you're using many, including Aaron and Earl and Sharon, to do so. So God, thank you for their work. Would you continue to lead them? Would you continue to just go before them? And would your spirit never leave them? Father, thank you for our sons and our daughters that are here, the ones that are not here, and for all of those who are involved in educating the children, from homeschool moms to teachers to TAs to bus drivers. Father, we thank you that you don't leave us when we leave out the door, but you go with us. And we ask that you would be with our sons and our daughters this week as they are going back to school. Father, that you would use their lives to be a light in a dark place. Father, that you would use the lives of the teachers and the administrators who have a relationship with you to make a lasting impact, not just educationally, but even spiritually on the lives of the young people that they get a touch. Father, thank you that we can be a light in a dark place and that we carry your presence wherever we go. And so we just bless our sons and our daughters today. God, open our ears to hear what you want to say to us. Father, open our hearts and our minds to receive the encouragement And Father, I thank you that you are doing something and you are up to something. In Jesus' name, I pray all these things. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Were you ready for the word this morning? Okay, I'm ready to give you the word this morning. And I'm ready for the word this morning because I'll get there. But man, this is a, I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching. I'm preaching with you this week. So, so the 9-8, I'm learning to count. 8 fingers and 2 thumbs are right back at me this morning. Probably a little more than normal, if I'm just being honest. Okay? So I'm excited for what God has to say and what he wants to do, and I believe he's going to speak to us. Well, this week, it was quite a fun week for us. On Friday, I got to go get new tires for my wife's van. So that's pretty fun. Got to spend the morning in a tire shop. You know, probably one of the worst days to spend a day in the tire shop is the first day it snows. And Labor Day and Memorial Day, because everyone who's going out of town realizes their boat that they haven't had out all year's tires are shot or the brakes lock up. And so it seems like a good day to go get tires for your van. So I was sitting at the Les Schwab waiting for the several hours to get my tires done. And there was a sign that caught my eye. And it's probably, you know, this isn't a plug for Les Schwab, you know, buy tires wherever you want. But they had this sign and they said this, and I want to read it. It says, they said, free, right? That's probably why it caught, because nothing's free, right? Especially there. The popcorn's free. But I think you pay for the popcorn with the tires. But free, peace of mind, tire protection. Sounds like a pretty good deal, doesn't it? Free, peace of mind, tire protection. And that caught my eye. And then underneath that sign, there was probably about maybe 8 or 9 bullet points. And I didn't go over to read the bullet points because honestly, I didn't really care about what was underneath the free peace of mind, tire protection. But they probably had their 8 or 9 things that they were promising to the customer that you would receive if you bought tires from them that would offer you free peace of mind tire protection. And popcorn wasn't one of them, and neither was the free beef, which I think Les Schwab needs to bring back the free beef program, because that is really cool. Go tires and get free beef. But they had all these points. And I was thinking about it, and how many know when you buy tires from Les Schwab, you get all these extra services, but the free peace of mind is something you have to receive. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Because they can offer me free beef, free popcorn, free rotating, and all the other things, you know, flat tire repair, and all those things are great. But they can't guarantee me that those things will bring me peace of mind. They might help me. I'll tell you what does not bring peace of mind is sitting in a waiting room of a tire shop with a 3-year-old. Even with the beef, the coffee, and the popcorn, and the cell phone. But free peace of mind is something you have to receive. Whether naturally, spiritually speaking, it is out there, but you have to take hold of it. And I want to talk this morning on our national holiday of rest, right? Labor Day weekend. I want to talk about rest. I want to talk about work, and I want to talk about stress. The title of my message is called Light and Free. Light and Free. We're not talking about debt or weight, but we're talking about stress. We're talking about peace. If you turn in your Bibles to Matthew 11, a famous passage of scripture, I just want to read a few verses out of the Passion Translation. I really like the Passion Translation because it uses some words that actually go back to the original language, and also there's some words that make sense to the language that you and I speak today. And so this is Jesus talking. It's in red. And he says this, and he asks a question. He says, are you weary? You don't need to answer it out loud, but answer it in your heart. Are you weary? Okay. depends on the day. Are you carrying a heavy burden? Come on, think about your life. Are you weary? Are there burdens inside of you that are causing you to be weighted down? Your life, your circumstances, the cares of this world. You know, Jesus doesn't just ask the question. Doesn't it bug you when you're with someone and they ask you the question, but they really have no desire about giving you an answer? It's kind of like they're like, hey, are you broke? And you're like, well, yeah. And they're like, cool. You're like, why'd you ask me? Right? So Jesus doesn't just say, hey, are you tired? Well, yeah. Well, then get some sleep. No. Are you carrying a heavy burden? Yeah. Well, then he gives us an answer. He says, then come to me. So are you tired? Yeah. Well, then come to me. Well, why? Because I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Come on, he's not just talking to the disciples back then. He's talking to us today. Come on, Americans, generational hope, families who are just starting school. Are you weary? Are you carrying heavy burdens? Okay. Yes, probably. Then come to me and I will refresh your life, for I'm your oasis. Simply join your life with mine, learn my ways, and you'll discover that I'm gentle, that I'm humble, that I'm easy to please. Sounds like a golden retriever or something like that. But you will find refreshment and rest in me. Yeah. Come on, doesn't that sound good? Refreshment and rest. For all that I require of you will be pleasant and it will be easy to bear. Come on, that's a promise to us today. If you're weary, if you're tired, then there is rest and there is freedom that Jesus has for you today. You know, in case the word stress is a foreign word to you, I would like to define it and talk about it. But just to be clear, so we're talking about the same thing, but stress can be defined and can be described. And when I refer to stress, I'm talking about living an unhurried life. Come on, think about it, where you're not in a hurry to go anywhere, where the mornings getting ready for church go smooth, you don't yell at your kids, the coffee line is short. Stress, living worry-free. Sounds pretty realistic, right? Stress, Hakuna Matata. Right? I think the pig and the
warthog.
I was going to say ferret. Right? I think Hakuna Matata, right? Yeah, right. It continues where a stress-free life would mean a life where your anxiety goes down and your life enjoyment goes up. And I know for all of you in your heads that are thinking, yeah, right, maybe when I'm with Jesus, that is possible. I want to tell you that you're wrong. Because I believe that there is rest and there is peace that can be found through Jesus Christ that can impact your life today. You don't have to wait to experience that rest until you are with him. Dead. Thank you. It's not something that's just attainable in heaven. Okay, before I go any further, I want to be very clear with this message. I believe this with my whole heart. In fact, the Bible was the one that said, you don't work, you don't eat. Okay, that wasn't me. That wasn't, you know, just something I came up with. The Bible says you don't work, you don't eat. Hard work pays off. This is not a message to encourage laziness, because we got a different message for that. This is not a message to encourage apathy. This is not a message to encourage the spirit of a sloth that's just like, ho-hum, ho-hum. Dumb, you know, just ho-hum, dum-dum. Okay, hard work pays off. I believe that a Christian life should be an intentional life. Yeah. And a true Christian life is not a boring life. There is a big difference between living a hurried life and living an intentional life. I believe that God wants his children to live lives that are very intentional for the things and for the purposes of God. Okay, because there is a world and there is neighbors and there is a community out there and next door to you that is dying and is waiting for an intentional Christian and an intentional church to rise up and be intentional about their faith. Okay, I believe that with my whole heart. So we're not talking about a hurried life. We're not just talking about busyness. We are talking about that God wants us to live lives that are very purposeful and very intentional with the things of the kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
Not talking about a chaotic life. An intentional life does not have to be a chaotic life. And I'll repeat it again since in case you didn't hear me. I am probably the least qualified in this room to talk about this. Because I'm probably the worst in this room about being hurried and stressful and chaotic. Okay, I'm probably one of the least prepared in this room to walk in victory. But I think that's how the Lord works sometimes. So I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching at us. Statistics say that you're stressed out. Statistics say that I'm stressed out. Statistics say that you stress out over these five things. Number one, money. And it's usually not that you have so much of it and you don't know who to give it away to. Because I'll tell you right now, if that's you, come talk to me and I'll give you lots of places that you can give it away to. Okay? It's usually I don't have enough of it. What are we going to do? Number two is your job. And not, Jesus, I need a job because I don't have one. It's griping and complaining and stressing out about the current job that you have. And if that's you and you don't have a job, I pray and I believe that there is provision for you. If you need a new job, I believe that God can provide those things. But so many times, man, imagine if I didn't have a job. I would really be stressed out. Another stressor, they say, is your family. Okay, running kids around to sports, to school. My wife and I had a conversation last night, and we looked at each other, and we're like, this parenting gig? Like, whoa. Exhausting. Right? Stressing out about the family when at least I have a family to be stressed out about. At least I'm not going, God, I'm so lonely. And I believe if you're lonely, if you don't have a physical family, I believe that there is a church family that wants to adopt you this morning. Right. There is a community of believers that wants to come around and be that spiritual family for you. Right. Amen?
And
she says, Cave's family. They say relationships is the fourth stressor. They say you stress out about your relationships, your marriage, your parenting kid relationships. Right, and it's usually I think about me, right? The reason I should probably stress out maybe about my marriage, I'm always thinking about the ways that my wife isn't meeting my needs or things that she could do differently to make, you know, me feel better. And it's like, what? That is immature, right? At least I have a wife that loves me, and that's a good thing. Okay, they say you stress out about your health, right? Will I get sick? Will I be healthy? What about this? What about that? Right? They say, and I think those stresses, those are just five. I could probably give you 100 more. But they say this, that stress is an indicator and is really a response of your nervous system, okay, your mind, your brain, your emotions. Okay, stress is a response of your nervous system to a perceived or an actual threat. Okay, so you think something's going to happen, whether it's real or not, and you... Your brain takes over, your mind takes over, and you begin to worry about that. Does that make sense? And you're all shaking your heads because I think we all deal with it. Right? This is why people say you can be stressed out and not even know it. Right? Jesus, when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he totally knew what was going to happen. He totally was submitted to God's will. Hey, I know I'm going to die. I'm cool with that. But he was so stressed out that the Bible says that he was his skin was bleeding. Okay, this is also why when you get worried and stressed out, all of a sudden you notice every donut shop on your way to work. And you just all of a sudden get really, really hungry and crave like a muffin.
So you, right? Because you're stressed out, right? And some of you might be like, when you get stressed out, you should just start praying and call it a fast because you don't eat for 40 days. Okay, some of those people do exist, right? Because you don't even know it, but your body, your nervous system wants to respond to the perceived or the real threat. Statistics say that most stress, and I hate to burst your bubble, is a perceived stress, not an actual stress. They say about 10% of the stress you feel is legit, when 90% is probably unnecessary. All right, we can go home now. Right, so we talk about managing stress, right? And how, you know, there's probably a self-help book you can read on it, and that, if that's you, go for it. But they say in order to have less stress in your life, it's all about maintaining margins in your life that create a stress-free environment. And I believe that that is true. I believe it's biblical, that there is margin. So what are margins, right? Meaning as the margin narrows, the stress level rises. Okay, deadlines, when you were in school, when you're at work, and the boss says, in 3 months you need to have this project done, and you say, sweet, I've got 3 months to get it done. Hakuna Matata, it's all good. And you wait, and you wait, and you wait, and then a week goes by, and now the margins, the room for error, is now narrow, and you now don't have a choice to procrastinate or not. Because if you procrastinate now, you will not get it done. Okay? So the time could be a margin. There could be other margins in our life that we place in that would keep us from experiencing that stress. How about your personal finances, right? It's September, it's the first of the year. You and your wife are like, hey, let's do a budget. And so you get you pay $100 to get the Dave Ramsey budget tool, which is awesome. And you start inputting your money of how much you make, and you're like, hey, this looks pretty good. And then you start entering in your bills. And the margin of extra money then turns red. And then your stress level goes, holy moly. You know what I'm talking about when I say margins now? Okay? So I believe that there are margins that God wants to put in our lives that will keep us from experiencing the stress that we would feel without those margins. Okay? Meaning, question for you, does a fender bender on the freeway throw your life apart? I mean, if it's you, it probably might, if you're the one in the fender bender. But think about it. Do you run your life so tight that if one little sneeze happens, one little fender bender happens, and everything goes down the drain? You know, we had an issue this week with the kids missing the bus. You would have thought my life ended. I mean, that was a big deal because I didn't have time for the kids to miss the bus. And the Lord, through my wife, said, you need to probably get to the place where a little sneeze does not affect you as much as it's affecting you, young man. Right? God still calls me young man. Right? But I believe God wants to get us to the place where the normal issues of life don't mess you up. Okay, the title of my message is Light and Free. And Jesus says this. He says, for all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. The message says, to keep company with me, you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So we understand stress. The second thing we got to understand is rest is a gift. Okay, rest is a gift. John 14, this is Jesus talking. He says this. He says, don't worry or surrender to your fear, for you believed in God. Now trust and believe in me also. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were otherwise, I would tell you plainly. Because I go and I'm going to prepare a place for you to rest. And when everything is ready, I will come back and take you to myself, and so that you will be where I am. And you already know the way to the place where I'm going. So Jesus is giving us the ultimate place of peace and rest. And he says, hey, eternally, you're going to have it. Okay? So we have great assurance in the gift of salvation. And I was able to do an amazing funeral this week for Norma Pease. And it was sad, and it was hard, and we mourned, and we cried. But the assurance knowing that she is with her Creator just brings peace to me. So we know as Christians, that is the ultimate gift and assurance. But here's the deal about a gift, and I talked about this with Les Schwab, is it could be there, but the nature of a gift is it has to be received. Right? Jesus can say, hey, I have it, but we have to say, okay, Jesus, I'll take it. Okay, and probably more than receive, there's an exchange that takes place. Okay, the Bible says that your sin is scarlet, but I will turn it as white as snow. Okay, that's the paraphrase. Okay, so that is what he has for you, right? You have sin, and it's red, and it separates you from Jesus, but I want to make it white as snow. But how many of you know that only happens when you choose to stop living in sin and repent of your sins? Okay, so there has to be an exchange that takes place. Okay, in Isaiah 61, it's a familiar passage, but it talks about how the Lord is upon me, how the Lord has anointed me to proclaim freedom for the captives, to release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to comfort those who mourn, to provide those who grieve in Zion, to give them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair or heaviness. Right? Do you see the exchange? You can't have a garment of praise when you are holding on to despair. You can't have comfort if you're just stuck in mourning. Okay? You can't have the oil of joy if you just want to sit in the bed of ashes for the rest of your life. Okay, there's an exchange where we have to, as Christians, say something like, it is time that I'm going to bury the tragedy of my past and start walking in the oil of joy instead of sadness.
Right.
Okay, and I'm not trying to be callous. I'm not trying to be mean. There is a time for all those things. But there is a time where if we are going to walk in the rest of God, we have to let go of what we're holding on to in order to receive and embrace what God has for us.
Right.
So the question is, what are you carrying that God is asking you to exchange? Come on, what are you carrying? Is it sadness? Is it, might be real legitimate things. But even in those real legitimate things, will you give those to the Lord? If God wanted to embrace you, what would you need to lay down in order to embrace him back? Okay, two things. If we want to be people who live light and free, number one, and this isn't rocket science people, but number one, we need to replace your worry with prayer. Listen, me just saying I'm not going to think about it, there we go, that's what happens, okay? Replace your worry with fear. I wrote with prayer. Maybe I was thinking about fear. Wow. That's really funny, right? But you need to replace your worry with prayer, with fear. Don't do that. Yeah, but that is what we do, right? But God wants us to replace our worry with prayer. Listen, I can say all day long, don't think about it like the elephant. Don't think about elephants. Well, yeah, right. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says this. It says, do not be anxious, say anything. Anything. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses your understanding, will guard your hearts and guard your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, I can tell you to replace your worry with prayer, and I could tell you, but I know how to stress pray to God. Yeah, I'm praying to God, but really I'm just venting to God. Oh, God, you got to take this rotten thing and blah, blah, blah. No, if you want to replace worry with prayer, I challenge you to take those top five things that are stressing you out, and you start declaring God's word over those things. You start declaring that those are the Lord's and victory is his. Don't just stress out. to God. Don't just vomit on God. That's not what we're talking about. Oh, I'm praying about it. Well, no. I want you to declare and put your faith towards those things to see the God just come through and show up over those areas. Okay? We talk about praying through Scripture, right? All Scripture is inspired by God. That's meaning that's God's heart, that's God's word, that's God's voice. So when I read it with my eyes, when I reflect on what it says, I'm going to learn to recognize God's voice when he speaks it to me in prayer. Yeah. Right? So we got to read those things. So I challenge you, set aside 30 minutes. Notification, phone free, to read on God's word and pray over your top five stressors. Because as you do it, I promise you, you will experience breakthrough. Because that's what God does. Okay, so number two, I'm going to hopefully not botch this one. With prayer, look at that. Thanks, Marie. Number two, you need to exchange hurry with rest. But I don't have time. I promise you, if you make time to rest in God's presence, you will feel more rejuvenated than you did before you made that time. Listen, we're not talking about going on a vacation to get rest, because I vacation the same way you do. Hard. I come back exhausted. Listen, I think what he's talking about here is exchanging hurry and rest, is putting rest into the daily rhythms of your life. How to incorporate godly rest into your daily rhythms of life. In your busyness, making time for rest. Listen, busyness is a crazy thing, isn't it? It can make you feel like you are accomplishing something so grand and so big and so just awesome. But at the end of the day, a lot of times, busyness is counterfeit. Yeah. Right? Without healthy boundaries, busyness can become like a narcotic that numbs you and our need to be intimate with God. That's true. Yeah. Right? That's what busyness is. You know, Proverbs 19 says that the fear or the reverence of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied. There is something when you spend time in God's presence in the middle of your business where you will feel rejuvenated. Good. Okay, we all like to rag on various Bible characters in the New Testament, right? Martha and Mary. I've heard sermons, don't be Martha, be Mary, right? In Luke chapter 10, right? I think there is a truth. You want to find rest, be with community. Be with God's people. There is rest that comes when we are meeting together. It sounds backwards, but there is refreshment that comes when you are doing life with other people. Okay, that's just a side note. But Martha and Mary in Luke chapter 10. So Jesus is good friends with them. He's coming for lunch. And when Jesus would come for lunch, he never came alone. Right? He always had his posse with him. So imagine me telling you, oh, by the way, I'm coming over to your house today, and I'm bringing my 12. So get it ready, because we're coming. Right? So Martha and Mary, they're sisters. Martha says that she began to prepare, and that's a good thing. I want to just say thank God for the Marthas in this church that care for the needs. Without the Marthas, the church does not go round and round, right? And so if you have a gift of hospitality, if you have a gift of taking care of things, God bless you. We can always use more Marthas, right, who are not just sitting around but are using their gifts. So she's doing that. Mary sits down. Here's the problem that Martha has. Martha gets frustrated because Mary is not walking in the same gift that Martha's walking in. Yeah. Right? We got to be really careful when we begin to judge people for not operating in the same gift that we operate in, because maybe God has a different gift for them to walk in and operate in. Good. Okay, side note. Right? So Martha says, Jesus, would you tell my sister to help? Because there's, right, because there's work to be done. And again, I'll say it. We need an army of Marthas. Thank you, Marthas. That's not really the point. Worship team, would you come up today? So they're doing this thing. And imagine the frustration when there's dishes to be done, when the food needs to go on the table, and your sister is sitting, like, conversing with Jesus. You'd be like, would you get up already, Martha, before I strangle you, Martha?
Right? So imagine the frustration. Would you stand with me this morning? Everyone in this room, I'm going to wrap up. And the Lord says this in verse 41 and 42. He says, Martha, Martha. And any time that Jesus would repeat your name in the New Testament, it wasn't because he was like, you know, angry, like the middle name thing. Justin Daniel. It was an empathetic term. It was empathy. It was like, Martha, Martha, you're missing it, girl. Martha, Martha. He says this. He says, you are distracted by many things, yet only one thing is necessary. Okay, the scripture says it. He says, you're anxious, you're troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Listen, in search of the many things, a lot of times we neglect the one thing. Right? In search for many things, many times we neglect the one thing, the most important thing. Yeah. And what is that? Right? What is that? It's sitting at the feet of Jesus. It's waiting in God's presence for a breakthrough. Listen, you could be intentional and busy without being hurried, without being stressed, but breakthrough, many breakthroughs in life, spiritually, will only come as you are in the presence of God waiting for Him to answer. Where you can set time aside to wait to hear His voice. Listen, when life gets hard, preaching at this guy, when life gets hard, it is easy to stay busy. But the hard thing, and what takes faith, is sitting in God's presence and waiting to get a word from Him. Come on, is it just me this morning? But it's easy to stay busy. I want to pray for some people. I want to pray for you corporately. But here's what I also know is the biggest stress of all is not being right with your Creator. So this morning, I don't know who's in this room. You may have stress about not being right with God. Some of you might not be ready to see God face to face like we talked about. And if that's you this morning, I want to invite you to make today the day that you begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because it doesn't just like magically take it, everything away. There's still things you got to walk through, but you get to walk through it with a God that cares about you. And so if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, there's really there's no better time to start than right now. But with every eye closed, if you're saying, man, Justin, I don't have peace with God, and you want to begin a relationship, I just want you to look at me, raise your hand so I can see you, so I can pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I just want to give an opportunity. If there's anyone in here that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus and wants that, then I want to give you that opportunity. So you can raise your hand, look at me. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to ask us to do this one thing. All of us, would you repeat after me today? Would you say this? Say, Jesus, I ask you to come into my life today. Forgive me for living my own life. Today I want to make you my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from my sins. Help me to live and to walk with you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Come on. Come on. Give the Lord a hand clap because God's doing things. Here's what I know, though. For us that do, and again, and heaven is rejoicing today. For those that don't know the Lord, heaven is rejoicing. I promise you that. But would you just close your eyes again? And just as a sign of faith, Noah's going to sing this song, but would you, as a sign of faith and surrender, can we just, if you are saying, man, I'm stressed, I don't rest, but I want to, would you just close your eyes and lift your hands
In this moment right now, you can begin to sing.
Maybe somebody won't prosper.
But would you just lift your hands and invite God to
when
come?
When the darkness falls, it won't prevail.
Because I believe He wants to encourage us today.
God I serve knows only how to triumph. Oh my God, we'll never fail. Oh my God, we'll never fail. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle.
Come on, let's let Him come into us today. Let's let Him refresh us, because the victory is His. Come on, let's sing.
There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every war He wages, He will win. I'm not backing down from any giant. I know how this story ends. I know. I know how this story ends. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle.
Come on, let's declare this over our life, over your situation. Let's encourage our faith a little bit. Come on, let's sing this together.
You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. The enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
Last time, come on.
You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. Turn it for good. And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
So, Father, this morning in your presence, Father, I just declare just a spirit of faith over your people. Father, that even in this area of busyness, of rest, of stress, Father, that you have victories waiting for us on the other side of our obedience. And Father, I pray that you would help us this week, Father, to turn our worries into prayer, Father, and our hurries into rest. Father, that we would be people who live an intentional life, Father, that is focused on your kingdom. Father, would you help us in this area? Father, we want to be people who are not worn down, who are not beat down, who are not so tired and discouraged that we miss opportunities for your kingdom. So, Father, this week, I just pray strength and refreshing over our families, over our lives. Father, and that you would give us eyes to be intentional. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen. 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 Come on. Well, God bless you. Have a great day off. If you need prayer this morning, we'd love to pray for you as we're going. And have a great Sunday. We'll see you next time.